that's where creativity steps out of the norm and becomes, oh, that's how I feel, right? Okay, and that's what you're going for. That's what you're striving for. You're trying to get people to go, oh, yeah, that's how I feel.
Creative engagement. Hello, I'm your host, Daniel Mandel, and I invite you to join us at the intersection of artistry and engagement. I'll be shining a light on the importance of authentic self-expression and participation in life. My purpose is to stimulate curiosity that will lead to play so that we can all live our most meaningful adventure. I'm a creativity coach, and I'm the chief encouragement officer. I work with people as creators and as artists to generate change through curiosity and imagination that invites creativity into problem solving to address life challenges. My guest this episode is Mark Bishop Evans. Mark is a very talented traditional folk artist with a real passion for social justice. You'll hear Mark perform his song, Bitter Wind, a tribute to Black Lives Matter. And I would encourage you to check out Mark's most recent CD called Something About Tomorrow. You can find this on iTunes, Amazon, and Bandcamp, or directly from Mark's website. That's markbishopevans.net. Check the episode notes, as always, for the links and details. I want to remind folks that I have a free step-by-step songwriting experiment that you can download from my website, danielrmandel.com. And to entice you even further, I've created a songwriting contest for those who are willing to try out my songwriting experiment. The prize will be having your song played on this Creative Engagement podcast. The winner will be announced in January of 2023. This can be for those who are writing their first song or maybe your 15th song. Songwriting is just one of the ways that I encourage people to explore their creativity. Remember that activating your creativity helps you to see more options as you go through life, helps you to be more resilient when you face difficulties, and most of all, gives you that drive to see your life as an adventure filled with wonder and meaning. I am here with my guest, Mark Bishop Evans, a singer-songwriter and a poet. Welcome to Creative Engagement, Mark.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
The way that I found out about you, Mark, is through a series of other interviews, and I asked Ann Sandstrom and Rick Page. You know, I've been asking people, is there anyone that you know that you think I should also interview? And Ann pointed me to Rick, and Rick pointed me to you. So this feels like a really lovely kind of investigation of singer-songwriters. And what we're talking about in this podcast is what creativity has done for the life of a singer-songwriter and poet. So take us inside. What's the experience of what? How would you answer the question, what has creativity done for your life?
Well, I think that to begin with, if you choose to go down the road of songwriting or poetry, or I mean, and even creative writing, any kind of, you know, creativity that's surrounded by words and images and trying to present feelings. When you're writing, what's your goal? I think any kind of writing, the goal is to get your audience to either think about something or to feel something, or maybe both of those at the same time, right? Granted, there's probably not too many things in the world that have not been thought about, and there's probably no feelings that have gone unfelt, right? So what the writer's challenge is to create a new way of looking at old things, right? A new way of expressing that feeling, or a new way of expressing that thought that has not been done before. I mean, that's the challenge. You know, we fail most of the time in that, because it's just been done so many times. But, you know, for me, what has it done in my life? It's helped me to explore my own feelings and my own thoughts.
When I hear you talk, it kind of brings me almost right back to the miracle of language. Isn't it amazing what we can do with language? If I talk about an apple, you know what I'm talking about, and you have a sense of, and maybe it's not the same exact apple, but you know what it's like to bite into a rich, delicious piece of fruit that is an apple. And you're right, in art, we can communicate all kinds of nuances about that apple. Is it a red apple? Is it a green apple? Is it tart? And so it really is amazing what we can transmit. And it really suggests a certain connectivity between us humans. Yeah. So it's absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I agree. It's and it's a challenge, you know, because, I mean, every artist, a painter or writer or whatever, I mean, that's what they're out there to do. They want to make an apple, you know, or talk about an apple, or draw or paint an apple in a way that nobody's ever seen it before, right?
Right.
Bring a new dimension to that, and add that to the experience that everybody's, you know, has as this is the apple, but oh, here's another way to look at it. So that's, I think, the challenge. And in order to do that, I mean, I don't think that happens haphazardly. I think it takes intention. And for me, the intention is, okay, look at how I feel about stuff. You know, look at the feeling of pain, emotional pain. Look at the feeling of emotional pain. How do I express this very personally? You know, I mean, I can express it the way that a thousand other people have expressed it, you know, and that's not interesting. Everybody's heard that one before. They're only going to be interested if they hear it. Did you hear how he said that? What he said about that? That's where creativity steps out of the norm and becomes
unique, right? Yeah. Like each person has their own uniqueness.
Right.
And it's so beautiful to receive that communication.
Right.
And to create it. And do I understand correctly that one of your apples, since we're talking in this kind of framework, your apples is political activism and awareness?
Right. I mean, I've written a number of songs about social justice. I think that might be the better term for me, social justice. I've got songs about war. Obviously, songs about injustice when it comes to black people. I have songs about injustice when it comes to Native Americans. I have environmental, you know, songs that I've written about in the environment and what we're doing to our planet. I'd say a good 40-50% of what I've written is in some way tied to social justice.
And what has that journey been like? Does it feel gratifying or frustrating? These feel like kind of very chaotic times.
Well, I think I grew up in a place where it wasn't social justice that I was taught to look at, but I was taught to look at other people and consider other people when it comes to my actions and my attitudes. And that kind of grew over the years into, you know, seeing the injustice around. And as I've gotten older and had the time, you know, and not been worried about trying to make a living and pay the rent, you know, I got older and I've had time to really start focusing in on how I felt about these things. And yes, it's very disturbing to me, the state of our country, well, the state of our world, you know, the state of humanity and how we as humans are so bad to each other in so many ways. And yes, there's lots of good. There's lots and lots of good and beauty in the world. And I love that and I love it's there. But when it comes to how we treat each other across the board, just across the board, you know, I think that everybody goes to the golden rule, you know, do unto others what you would have them do unto you. I think there's an alternate to that that's even better. Do unto others as they would like to be done unto, right?
Yeah.
Because so often, you know, if you said do unto others as like you would want to be done, well, not everybody wants to be treated like I'm treated, like I think is great. That's an individual thing. So treat people like they want to be treated, not like you think they, you know, they should be treated. Like,
yeah, that's really beautiful. As I'm hearing you talk, it reminds me of, I hope I'm crediting this correctly, but I think there's a song from the musical South Pacific that talks about we really have taught hate.
Yeah,
and you've
got to be taught.
Yeah. You don't just grow up hating other people. You're taught to hate people. It's kind of an interesting framework for looking at the hate in the world. Is that it really has been taught, and in the same way we can teach compassion and empathy.
Right.
So yeah. I want to kind of get further. I want to, you know, really get. Lift the hood on Mark Bishop Evans and find out what your experience as a creative person has been. And I understand that you really started out as a trumpet player. Yep. And I saw in your pictures that you were also playing some kind of a wooden, maybe a Native American Indian flute.
Yeah.
What has your experience been with other instruments? Or do you consider yourself a multi-instrumentalist? Or?
I really don't. I started playing the trumpet at 5 years old because there was a guy that led music in the church that we went to that I really looked up to, and he was the music leader and he played the trumpet. So at 5 years old, I decided I wanted to play the trumpet. You know, I mean, I knew my mind at 5 years old, right? So my parents were all for that, and they, you know, got me a trumpet and gave me classical trumpet lessons for 9 years. I took, you know, every week I went and played with the San Diego Symphony when I was 14 years old.
Wow.
And you know, just once, fourth chair. I was a real good trumpet player, but someplace in that 9 years, I had started to sing and as well. And that really spoke to my heart more than playing the trumpet did. And as time went on, the desire to sing really kind of overweighed the desire to play the trumpet. And you can't do those two things together, you know. Right. You can't play the trumpet and sing at the same time. So at 14, I decided my parents couldn't throw me out of the house. What could they really do to me if I wanted to quit trumpet? So I quit the trumpet, picked up the guitar, and learned to play that because I could sing. That would help me. I could sing along with that. So my journey as a guitar player started around 14 and continued. As far as the Native American flute, a number of years ago, I was up in the New Hampshire mountains, and we went into a little shop, and I saw these Native American flutes for sale there, and they were just beautiful. These just beautiful wood flutes, and I picked it up, and I was able to make a sound, and it was deep and rich, and you know, kind of spoke to my heart. So I bought one. And yeah, I can sort of play it a little bit, but I wouldn't consider myself a Native American flute player. I mean, I know some Native American flute players, and I'm like a, you know, I'm a major hack compared to them.
Tell us about your process of like how you go from the kernel of an inspiration to a song, where do you find the most joy in the process? Like what really delivers it for you? Or where do you find like frustrations, and what do you wrestle with in the process? What's the writing process like for you?
I used to think that my writing came in spurts. I would write 4, 5, 6 songs, and then I wouldn't write anything for a few months. And I used to think that, well, that's just my process. I've come to understand that that's not true, and that my process is that if I will take the time to set aside the space to clear my mind and not have other things on my plate, that I can write. I keep a file on my phone, in the memo on my phone. When I hear something that really I go, oh, I like the way that sounds, I'll put it down on the phone, and when I feel like I want to write something, I'll sit down and I'll look through that. That'll be the first thing I look through. And I have notes and old songs that never became, you know, and I'll look through all of that stuff as part of the process. Unless I sit down and I have something burning in my brain and it just kind of writes itself. Songwriters will tell you there are times when you sit down to write a song and the song writes itself.
Yeah. No, I can really relate. Have you ever heard of the phrase of catching a song? Like some people say, I don't write songs, I'm a song catcher. And it just right. seems to be in right. the air and I pull it
it's
down.
It's like it's there. It's already there. And, you know, and all you have to do is make sure you write it down right. And my process is it varies. It depends. Sometimes it'll start with the music. Sometimes I'll write the chorus and then I'll go take the time to put good verses to it. Sometimes it'll start with the verse. And lots of times I've been trying to write stories lately because I found that people love a story in a song. And if you can use the story to get your point across, to get the feeling across, to get the intention of the song across via a story, that's a better way to do it. And sometimes it just starts out with the first line. And wherever it goes, you know, I mean, you're trying to rhyme stuff and you're trying to find a good melody line and it just kind of falls into place as you work at it. I'll sit down at 8 o'clock in the morning, start writing a song. And next thing I know, it's 2 p.m. The 6 hours is gone, you know, like
yeah,
that.
You know, that has been a really common thread. I've interviewed, I'm heading towards my 20th or maybe my 25th interview. And as I talk to artists, you know, painters, poets, songwriters, artists of different stripes, there is this creation process where you almost feel like you step outside of time and you all of a sudden you look at the clock or something happens and you realize I have really not been, it doesn't feel like I've been operating in linear time.
Right. Yeah, I agree. You know, I mean, you look at, you know, sit down and the next time you feel like you come back to consciousness, you know, it's really, yeah, you step out of time, you come back to consciousness, you look up and say, well, it's 1:30?
It's not a bad word for it, consciousness. Where do you think that your mind is at? Is it, it's not that you're unconscious, is it?
I think it's your internal, you're focused in, right? I mean, you're focused in on your thoughts and the process and what's running through your head and trying to find the rhyme for this, find the good rhyme for that that really says something and is not just a rhyme to rhyme it, but it actually says something.
Yeah, that right there is what something that I find kind of frustrates me is that sometimes I find that I settle because I found an immediate rhyme, but it doesn't really support the meaning of the song. And I think what happens is I give up on my curiosity too early in the process, and I'm just happy that something rhymes.
Right.
And well, then I go back and I have to rework it.
I do that too, but I don't do it because I do it with intent to come back to it.
Oh, like a placeholder.
To keep the flow going. Right. Because if I get hung up too long on one word, I can lose the whole thought process that is playing itself out. I can lose the next five or six lines.
Right, lose the thread,
because
right?
Because I'm all concentrated on that. If it's okay, I'll leave it and with the, you know, and I'll circle it and I'll move on. Try to not lose that thought process and that flow that's coming. And once I've got it, then I go back, and I'll go back the next day, usually lay it out and I see all these circles.
Well, you know, as we were talking earlier about language, maybe we need to invent a new word that conveys sort of an artistic consciousness that isn't, that feels like it's outside of time.
Right. Yeah. I know. Yeah. There should be a word for that. Yeah. I don't think there is. So, yeah.
What would you say to someone who is sitting in their room really kind of just wanting to write that first song? Or maybe they've written a few poems and maybe they've written a song and they want to write their next song. What would you say to provide some words of encouragement?
Huh. Well, the first thing I want to say is write about what you feel about something, whatever it is. How do you feel about this? Start writing down your feelings. Get rid of all of the stuff that says, no, I can't expose myself to, you know, get rid of all of that and get into your really real feelings, put them down on paper, and then use that as to germinate a new song. Use that. Decide to tell a story that expresses that, or decide to even talk about yourself. The process is, if you start and you keep at it, something's going to come out of that. And yes, you know, very few people sit down and write their very first song as a fabulous, perfect song. I mean, I've written hundreds of songs, and I probably didn't start writing good songs for 10 years after I started writing. I mean, there are songs I would play, but going back and looking at them compared to what I'm writing now, they're not good songs. But it's all part of that learning process and getting comfortable with being in touch with your own feelings.
Yeah. It's a really beautiful encouragement to think of sharing yourself through your feelings in song. What a wonderful thing to share about yourself.
Right. And you'd be surprised when you sing some of those songs, how many people in the audience will go, oh, that's how I feel. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. And that's what you're going for. That's what you're striving for. You're trying to get people to go, oh, yeah, that's how I feel.
Yeah, and when you connect with people in an audience and you know that they've felt what you've felt, it's almost indescribable.
That's the utopia. That's the, you know, the nirvana. That's the place you want to go. Yeah.
Well, Mark Bishop Evans, I want to thank you for being on the Creative Engagement Podcast. And I really want to encourage all of our listeners to check out Something About Tomorrow. Mark plays and sings beautifully on all these songs, and it's just really a beautiful kind of return to folk tradition, and really takes you inside the emotions that Mark wants to share with all of us. So thank you very much for joining us.
Well, thank you, Daniel. I really appreciate you reaching out. I love this. Thank you. Well, this song is called Bitter Wind, and it came about because as I was watching the protests in Portland in summer of 2020, the Black Lives Matter protests and the calls for justice and the calls for national justice, It really moved me, and it's been a thing that's kind of been hanging around in my heart for a long time, that we don't treat people in this country well, unless they're white and male. And so this is the song that came out of it. I actually had gone out for a motorcycle ride, and I had been contemplating this, and I'm riding around and when I live back east and in New Hampshire in the through the mountains there, and the chorus just kind of came to me. And by the time I got home from the ride, I had the chorus. It was just in my head and done. It took me a couple of weeks more to put the verses to it. But the song is called Bitter Wind, and it's really an anthem for Black Lives Matter. It's a dark cloud that brings the rain, a bitter wind that brings the pain, makes our children moan and grieve and kneel and cry. We cannot breathe. It's a cruel storm that brings the death, a bitter wind that steals the breath. Gone the children's joy and laughter, gone the lives that should have mattered. Cold upon the ground lies a body of a mother's son. Police all lie and say that he pointed at them with a gun. Now the young man had to die alone when his only crime was walking home. And no matter what they say, you know he's not the only one. No, 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 there's a dark cloud that brings the rain. Bitter wind that brings the pain, makes our children moan and grieve and kneel and cry. We cannot breathe. It's a cruel storm that brings the death, a bitter wind that steals the breath. Gone the children's joy and laughter, gone the lives that should have. Standing in the flames of a nation torn by hate and blame, where those who should protect are the authors of the greatest pain. You can take a bullet in your back when your only crime is driving black, and half of us refuse to call it by its proper name. No, 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 there's a dark cloud that brings the rain, a bitter wind that brings the pain, makes our children moan and grieve and kneel and cry. We cannot breathe. It's a cruel storm, brings the death, a bitter wind steals the breath. Gone the children's joy and laughter, gone the lives that should have mattered. The pain and rage has been locked up in a cage and left beneath the boiling sun. If you open up your eyes, you won't be surprised at the revolution when it comes. There's a dark cloud that brings the rain, a bitter wind that brings the pain, makes our children moan and grieve, kneel and cry. We cannot breathe. It's a cruel storm that brings the death, bitter wind that steals the breath. Gone the children's joy and laughter, gone the lives that should have mattered. I said gone the lives that could have mattered. Well, it's a dark cloud, a bitter wind, a cruel storm, a bitter wind.
The Creative Engagement Podcast's mission is to have important conversations sharing LGBTQ artist and creative stories as we encourage everyone to participate in life. Here are some ways you can help. Give our podcast some love. Creative Engagement is an independent free podcast. Your ratings and comments where you listen to podcasts help others understand the value. Send us your comments directly. Let us know your thoughts. Do you know someone who should be interviewed? Do you have a topic that should be explored that fits the Creative Engagement context? Send an email to coach@danielrmandel.com. Share this episode to anyone you think might enjoy artistic and queer ideas and creative encouragement. And finally, visit the creativeengagementcoaching.com website to explore courses and coaching to optimize your life. Thank you for listening. I'm Daniel Mandel. Creative Engagement.